Well, last week we talked about practical side of Ephesians. We're in the second half of Ephesians, and it's a very practical area of Scripture. And we learned that we learned about our behavior. We learned about worshiping God, and we learned about community. Well, today Paul's going to drill down a little bit farther, especially in behavior and community, as he talks to us. So let me ask you a question. What is a better way to live life, by wisdom or experience? I could wait for an answer, but you're probably doing this right now. And I can tell you, I've done both. And experience is a good teacher, because we tend to remember when we've experienced things that are hard for us. We tend to struggle with the pain, and we don't forget it. That's where experience is good. But wisdom. Give me wisdom. I'd much rather learn by other people's experiences where they've made mistakes and I've observed them, and with wisdom say, I don't want to do that. Wisdom is what we want to go after. And the ultimate wisdom is what we especially want to go after. So today, we're going to look at God's Word. We're studying in Ephesians, Living in Christ. And the title of our sermon today is Aligning with Christ. And we have a choice. Today we get to consider living our way by our rules, or we get to consider living God's way by His precepts, by His scriptures, and His truth that He's given us, by His wisdom. I've tried both, as I said, and I have decided that I want to live God's way. The other way tends to be too painful. It's too short-sighted. As people, we can barely see beyond our noses. We just see out there a little bit. We have trouble thinking long-term, and we just take care of the immediate quite often. But in our passage in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32, we're going to look at aligning our hearts to Christ. We're going to find this chapter continues as the first half of the chapter did, talking directly to us, straight to us, and we'll get into it in just in a sec, as we look to think about our lives, as we look to think about the afterlife. So I'm going to turn to Ephesians 4:17 and read our first verse, and Paul does something a little different here. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Now, Paul's been giving us a lot of advice, and he hasn't said, here's the Lord's authority, but today he does. He is saying, these words are from God. I speak as someone anointed by Him with authority. And when he talks about Gentiles here, he's really talking about the non-Christians, the world. We know the world well, don't we? And I like those words, hopelessly confused. And I'd have to say our world is filled with people that are hopelessly confused. If I was to ask you, do you know anybody in the world that is that way? You'd probably say yes. The only difference is people in the world that don't follow God have opinions. A lot of them pretty strong. They state it pretty emphatically. You can't watch TV without seeing the world's opinions coming back at you. And it's interesting to me, a lot of them don't talk about God. They don't care about God. He's irrelevant. Their thinking is confused. Their thinking is even futile. Paul's going to share with us now some positives, some negatives. He's going to add some contrasts as we look at what people think, which is usually based on themselves. Ephesians 4, verses 18 through 19. Their minds are filled with darkness. He's talking about the world now. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Does that describe our world or not? And do you notice the hardening of their hearts? The hardening of their hearts. That's what so many people do. Don't confuse me with the truth. Don't tell me about God. I don't want to hear it. I've decided how I'm going to live. I've decided how I'm going to think. And so what do? They do whatever they want. Lustful pleasures. They practice all kinds of yuck. They have no sense of shame. You don't have to go very far in this country to see that mankind actually knows God's way, because they go opposite. They go opposite as hard as they can. There's God's way, there's man's way. And people that don't want to believe in God, that have hardened their heart, generally go opposite. So Paul takes his focus now to talk to Christians. Paul takes his focus to talk to us who have learned about Christ. Let's look at our next verses. Ephesians 4, 20 through 21. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Somewhere along the lines, and I believe most of you are Christians here, you encountered Jesus Christ. You made a decision that you didn't want to follow the world. You wanted to follow the truth about Jesus Christ. And what did we learn? We learned that Jesus came to earth for us because of our sins that we were trapped in. And he died on the cross for us. He died on the cross so we could have eternity with him. And Paul's telling us to leave the old life behind. Verse 22. Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupt with lust and deception. Essentially saying, don't go back there. Don't go to that way that you've lived in the world. Stay away from it. Don't let the world corrupt you. It sure tries, and we all know it full well. So some of you that are older, and a lot of you are, might remember back in the early 80s, Nancy Reagan had an anti-drug campaign. Do you remember what she said? Just say no. Pretty simple. Just say no. Well, I would say as Christians, there are so many enticements out there. There's so many things we have to deal with. I think about not only what we face, but what our children face, what they have to deal with, what's bombarding them from the world. And I want to say, just say no. Just say no to sin and yes to God. So Paul now continues giving us some godly advice, giving us some attitudes. Verses that I like, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I like that phrase, put on. It's like you're putting on clothes. It reminds me of a verse I use at weddings quite often. I think I used it at a recent wedding not too long ago, out of Colossians 3. Colossians 3 tells us to put on a behavior that belongs to Christ. We'll read it in just a sec. One example I think of when I get attacked, or I get people pushing into me with mean words or something like that, I tend to want to push right back. I tend to want to respond right back at them as they're coming at me. It's just what I do. It's probably a defensive thing, and maybe you do it too. But Paul wants us to know we need to correct our thinking. We need not to go with our natural instincts, but to go as Christ would tell us. Let's look at that Colossians 3:12 passage. Because we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Remember those words from last week? We are loved. And we need to change our thoughts and how we react. You know, I don't have a lot of athletic accomplishments in my life. They're very humble. Tanner's back there, yeah, that's for sure. But I do have one. This is my Wilson T2000. This is an awesome thing. Back in the early 70s, I was the number one singles in my high school. That means I was the best tennis player in my high school. And I had a pretty good game. Let me assure you, I have nothing like that game today. Wilson T2000 was the latest racket you could get, the top of technology in the early 70s. And I did okay. I had a killer serve. I had one fundamental problem with my game, though. My serve saved me most of the time. But my problem was, whenever the ball would be hit at me, I'd hit it right back to the guy. Every time. Wherever the ball went, I'd go find it and hit it right back to the guy. Wherever it went, I would hit it right back to the guy. No matter what I did. I'm just a people pleaser, always getting the ball right back to him. Eventually, I started to pick up, I needed to do something different than my natural instincts. I needed to do something different than hit the ball right back. Because whatever they hit at me, be an overhand spin or something, I'd hit it right back. And they'd be standing in the middle of the court, and I'd be running from side to side. I was in shape, thank goodness. But I learned I had to change it up. I couldn't hit it directly back. I could never win if I did that. So that is what Paul's trying to teach us, to not go with our natural instincts. He's telling us to change it up. Respond as Jesus would want us to respond. So Paul now is going to drill down even a little bit farther and talk about specific sins. And when I first started reading this quickly, he's talking about other people. No, he's talking about the believers. He's talking about the followers of Christ. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4:25. So stop telling lies. You can see why I thought about them and not us. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. You know, last week we learned about being humble, we learned about being gentle, we used the word kind, but if you remember, I kind of bristled at the word patience we learned last week. Well, we learned it this week too. We need to give people time and space. We need to answer honestly, but with love and kindness, and not just tell them what they want to hear, not lies, but loving grace and kindness help explain the truth. Then another one, Ephesians 4:26 through 27. This one's a little more popular. Ephesians tells us, and don't sin by letting your anger control you. In this famous part, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I was saying something about the sermon to somebody this week and talking about the phrase, don't let the sun go down on while you're still angry, and Beth said, yeah, argue all night. Anger is a very powerful thing. Doggone it. When someone does you wrong and you're right and you know it, how dare they do that? How dare they do what they did? You know, I have a right. More than that, I have a responsibility to push back, to put them in their place, to get back at them. Sounds like such a great plan. But as we know, that's an immature plan, especially if it drives you to be out of control. What Paul's telling is to nip that energy in the bud, to stop it. Don't let the momentum grow. When you can, try to get down to the basic issues. What are they? Can you talk through it? Can you reasonably figure out how to do it, how to deal with that situation? It's so important that we control our anger and don't let the anger control us. Most of us have experienced that before. I remember when Beth and I were first married. Sorry to pick on you so much today. On occasion, on rare occasion, we'd have arguments. Okay, maybe not so rare. We'd have arguments. And I can remember this verse. It's a powerful verse. Because I'm the type I want to talk. I want to talk through it when I talk. I usually say the same thing over and over again, just more heated. And when you have conflict, what do? You got to talk through it. Well, Beth is a more sensitive. She thinks about things more. She's more thoughtful. She considers her words slowly. And I have learned, with gracious people like my wife, when I make them speak, it's kind of not healthy for anybody, and everybody ends up frustrated. People just need, they're just at a different pace from one another, and they need space to process. So, yes, it is good not to let the sun go down on your anger, but it doesn't mean you get angry as you process that. That doesn't work either. That's a very dynamic passage. And Paul's point here is, don't give Satan a launching pad by getting angry and letting that anger go out of control. Don't give him a launching pad where you're going to launch your emotions and just let it go wild. We need to give thought. We need to give kindness and care to the people around us. Basically, we need to help our attitude and not do the natural thing. So let's go on to the next thing he's going to talk about, Ephesians 4:28. If you are a thief. Now remember, he's talking to us Christians. He's talking to us here at Grandview. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Now, again, when I first saw this, I was thinking of a bandit, like a raccoon with a mask or something, as we steal. And there might be that going on at times. And what Paul's saying, if you steal, stop. If you're stealing from the government, stop. If you're stealing from God, stop. I'm trying to think of us Christians, how we in our own world, we generally don't go rob banks, so that's not an issue. But Paul's directing us for a reason, and we have to examine our hearts. Where are we stealing? And he tells us, take that same energy, if you can identify a spot where you are stealing, and use it for good. Use it productively. Not only that, don't just use it productively, but become generous. You know the solution for stealing? Generosity. Giving it away. So, I want to go on to one more thing. We'll kind of come back to the subject in a little bit. This next one, Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Years ago, I had a relative. He's long since passed now. And this guy had the most gross mouth you've ever been around. He was entrenched in those words. And I could tell he had developed the words so much. You can just imagine the words that would come out. He would never let a sentence go by without dropping this word or that word. He just didn't hear himself. He couldn't hear himself. Blankety blank, 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 blank. And oh yeah, blank, blank. I mean, it would just go on. I felt sad for him. It was very embarrassing to be around him. He was the opposite of good and helpful and encouraging words. He just kind of drove people away from him. Well, we can do that in different ways. We can do that in ways that helps people instead of hurting people. You want to remember, probably the most popular way for us is, remember, you can't unring a bell. Once you say something, you can't unsay it necessarily. Now, you can say you're sorry the first time, maybe the second time. But by the third or fourth time, your apology starts becoming hollow, and it doesn't work. So, Paul's saying, stop shooting arrows out of your mouth, be it with foul language or be it with hurting words. Understand, I'm a Gordon. We're gifted with gab. I've learned by experience in this category. I'm trying to catch up to the wisdom part. So, Ephesians 4:30, as Paul gets ready to land the plane here. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of your redemption. The way you live. The way you live. You have been chosen by God. You're his ambassador. You're his representative. The way you act reflects on you. The way you live. How you treat people. It reflects on us here, because he's talking to the churches in the area. He's talking to us. What you do with sin reflects on us. We're shit. It reflects on God. It reflects on the mission of God. It reflects on who God is. Now, God's, he's above it all. We understand that. But if we can control it, we should control it. So, sorry, just catching my place here. Ephesians 4:31, the last verse of the passage. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Paul is helping us. He's trying to help us consider our behavior. Consider our emotions, how we just let them go. We use them with overwhelming force sometimes. With anger and rage and mean-biting words, we accuse people, we call them names. And as Christians, we probably do it in real Christianese often. Paul gives us some tender, positive things we can do. In 32, verse 32, instead, be kind to each other. You know, it's funny, I'll stop here for a sec. We tend to hurt the people that are closest to us. You ever notice that? We don't hurt strangers too often. It's mostly people we know. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Ever drive through a coffee stand or a fast food drive-thru? Have you ever had the experience where you drive up and they go, oh, that person that just left, they just paid your bill. They paid it forward. There's a whole movie and thing about that, paying it forward. It's quite an experience. That's what Christ is saying here. He's forgiven us. We need to forgive others. Sometimes we need to pay it forward in forgiving others. Seems so unfair. We want to get back at them. But we need to remember, God forgave us. We need to pay that forward. There is a phrase that sometimes you're the only Jesus people will ever see. That's true. We need to think about how we live. And if you scrutinize that to yourself, that you're the only Jesus some people will see, how do you hold up under that? Well, if you're like me, you kind of like, I hope they don't look too close. I feel inadequate, ill-equipped, kind of a bad example. At times, on the outside, I can look really good. I dress up nice on Sunday morning, don't I? No, Jesus came to forgive us for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. He's paid it forward in a big, in a grand way. We started out today talking about wisdom. True wisdom begins with God. It begins with understanding who God is. It begins knowing this message we have that's invaluable, that we need to pass it on. We need to let others know. And I thought it'd be good just for a very quick moment to share the Roman road. How many of you remember that? We talked about the Roman road. Before we do any more slides, how many remember this? You remember Roman road? I see one hand. Okay, so a couple more. The Roman road is a way for you just to share how someone comes to Christ, how they acknowledge him. Let's see what it does. The first one, Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all have. We all come short of God's glory. We know that. So 3:23, before we go to the next, Burdell, anybody remember the next verse? Starts with a 6. Thank you. Yes, Romans 6:23. So you can remember 3:23, 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So everyone sinned, and the wages of sin is death, but Christ has given us a gift. And the last one is Romans 10:10. You just got to remember 10:10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Pretty simple, pretty basic. But I would wager most of you are Christians. I would wager most of you, you need this because I want you to be able to pass it along, share it with others, when the time comes. When you're least prepared, someone's going to say, how do you do that? And you're going to go, the Roman road, I remember. 3-something, 6-something. Hopefully you'll remember. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. But how do we clean up ourselves? How do we work on ourselves? Paul talks about community because community is meant to help encourage where we can encourage each other. We can speak truth in love to each other. We can challenge each other to be more like Christ. To ask the question, what would Jesus do? We can help each other do that. That's what community is all about. It means being teachable. It means being open to doing something that isn't natural and learning the way Jesus Christ would want you to respond. At the start of the ministry of Christ, and Jesus put out what his mission was. Let's go to the next slide. He actually quotes Isaiah 61, but it's recorded in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. That means those without Christ, spiritually poor. Sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. That's people who are captivated by their sin. They can't even see it. They don't even know. Their hearts are hardened. To set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. And that is our final words today. This is our time to act for God, to align our hearts to His. That's our job. Let me close with a word of prayer. Father, you know us well. You know us oh so well. From the time we're born till we become old, we are on a journey, an education. We're learning to be more and more like you. Because left to the world's way of doing things, we would be lost. We would be a prisoner in our own sin. Those things that come so natural, we just naturally gravitate opposite of God. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. I pray you would give us boldness as we look to live by your rules, by your principles, by your truth. Help us to be considerate of each other here, and help us let the light shine for you wherever we're at. In Jesus' name, amen.